win Shedeur Sanders' money will not be hurt at this time, because he got demoted to a non-primetime slot. See what we did there? In its place, we present a program that's always a first-round pick.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we have a lot to do this week. Sort of, kind of.
Yes.
If you like Jeopardy, you'll like this. If you like Survivor, you'll like this. If you like RuPaul's Drag Race, you may like it, because we're going to be talking about All Stars. And if you like The Toilet, you'll love this, since we're hanging around with the Porcelain Goddess again.
Because we are now almost in May, and that means summer shows are debuting.
Summer shows have started to debut. We've got a couple that we're going to review. Plus, who ordered the double of pizza?
Me.
Well, I did.
Okay. Well, I got one for each of you. I got one with vegetables and one with meat. I think I know which one gets which. Anyway. All this and more, because from somewhere in America, WLTI, the World's Strongest Game Show podcast, on the last Wednesday for real this time, is on. Let's go.
It is never going to be the last Wednesday for
real. It's never going to be, dude.
Get over it. We're going to be here Wednesdays from now on, and Liza Minnelli lies if you think differently. Let's go. Good job, Chico.
Well, we are down to 11 shows before number 500. This is WLTI number 489 at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, hydration expert, and all-around good guy. I am with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am, and we need a lot of this man, Mr. Gilbert!
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Let's go back to what happened tonight as we start the Jeopardy Masters Tournament. Now, it's going to be a little bit different this time.
How is it going to be different this time, Jay?
Because we have 9 people instead of 6. Playing 2 games against the other 3. The top 6 will move on to a semifinal round, and then the top 3 will play for the title of Jeopardy Master and $500,000. Okay.
Ooh.
In game 1, we have Brad Rutter, Victoria Grosch, the winner of last year's Jeopardy Masters, and Yogesh Rout. And it was a rout, as Yogesh had a locked game going into final, 30,800, 14,000 for Victoria, but 6,200, and Chico got this clue in Europe. Here it is. Words meaning water's edge are one suggested etymology of this city, once capital of the province of Aquitania. Chico, would you like to explain?
Okay, so from my days of going to Busch Gardens, I know Aquitania is part of France, and water's edge of water, Bordeaux is, so the correct response, what is Bordeaux?
And I believe Victoria was the only one who got it, but Yogesh didn't bet anything, so it's Yogesh 3, Victoria 1.
Nothing, no partial credit for a Bordeaux-de-toilet.
Bordeaux-de-toilet? We wish. So at the end, Yogesh 1, Yogesh 3, Victoria 1, and Brad nothing.
I told you he was going to be rusty.
Yes, he was very rusty. And in game 2, we have Juveria Sahir, Matt Amodio, and Roger Craig. This one was a little bit different because we had a game going and we had a little bit of a Disney, what was it, corporate synergy promoting Thunderbolts this coming Friday. But Roger had 15-2, Matt 10-6, and Juveria 8 going to the final of World Literature. And this was a tough one. Follow-up to an earlier work, this 1671 effort references eventual triumphs written in the Book of Job and the Gospels. Did you know this one, Gordon? Or would you know this one?
I did not know this one. I thought maybe Stephen King had something to do with it, so I said, what is the Mystine Chapel?
No. This is actually Paradise Regained, the sequel to Paradise Lost.
Paradise Lost. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everyone got it right. Matt bet correctly to go into second place, but Roger won enough to win by a dollar. So Roger has 3. Matt has 1. Juveria has 0. But as of this week, Yogesh is first due to more correct answers. Roger is second. Matt and Victoria have 1, and Juveria and Brad have 0. And in the next week, we have the other 3, which is a rematch of
TOC rematch.
The Tournament of Champions, which is Adriana Harmeyer, Isaac Hirsch, and Neelish. Okay? So, and then, of course, we'll get the second in round 2. So, there's that. Chico, we had the end of a Super Champ, didn't we?
We did have the end of a Super Champ. It happened on Monday when Liam Starnes played his 7th game against Aaron Morin, a digital pre-press specialist from Aldi, Virginia, and Steve Ixman, a retired teacher originally from Sandusky, Ohio. It was a roller coaster of a match. See what I did there? With Liam leading at 25-4, Aaron has 14-8, and Steve has 5,400, going into the final Jeopardy of Contemporary Authors. At the start of his writing career, his wife told him if it didn't work out at 6'4", he could be a reacher in a supermarket.
And I should have known this because this is one of my favorite shows on Amazon Prime. Clue is Reacher, okay? Reacher is written by the very talented author Lee Child. So I did not know this. Did you know, Gordon, did you have anything on this one?
I just wanted to make it a wrestling crossover and say, who's Giant Gonzalez?
He was a little taller than 6'4".
El Gigante!
Right. And
the
Aaron
Mummy. It was the Mummy.
Yes.
The Yeti.
The Yeti. The Yeti.
I want the belt!
The Yeti.
Yes. So that's how Reacher got his name, a Reacher in a supermarket. Aaron was the only one who got it right, and she won with 29,600. She was defeated by Ben Ganger, and on today's show, what happened?
On today's show, Ben Ganger plays Jordan Stefanski from Donella, New Jersey, psychiatric nurse there, and Ronnie Ackner, a product manager from your neck of the woods, Jay, Brooklyn, going into the final. It is a lock for Ben as he takes on, with 16-1 in his pocket, the Final Jeopardy category of business and television. The TV show, this TV show that debuted in 1960, licensed its name 8 years later to a children's health product that's still around today. Ooh, 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 me, pick me.
Go for it. Did you know this one?
I did know this one. What is the Flintstones? 10 million strong,
that's right.
And growing.
And grow. That's right. And did you, what show? That was before they answered the Marlboro. That was after the Marlboro cigarette.
Exactly.
You say.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Hey, remember, hey, Jay, tell me about the times where they advertised cigarettes on television.
I went with,
Jay, since you asked me, I went with something a little bit more subversive. I went with, what is the Campbell Soupy Sales Show? You know, kids, all those green papers in your wallet, don't forget to send them to me.
And you know what? Didn't he get hundreds of dollars from that?
If I remember. He did. He did. He got something green, and then he got something pink in the form of a slip.
Yep.
Yeah. But it is the Flintstones vitamins. Ben just added 716. He's got 41,815 as we go into the show tomorrow. But we need this theme from Sony Picture Studios. Please. So we are now into the Pat Sajak retirement tour. These are the last shows of Celebrity Wheel of Fortune he taped. Weren't they last year? Was it earlier this year?
I believe it was sometime earlier this season, because the new set was up. And Pat Sajak was basically playing around on the Seacrest set.
Okay, so, all right. So we have Joe Manganiello, D&D Dungeon Master Extreme, ex-husband of Sophia Vergara, playing for the UPMC Children's Hospital Foundation. Tiffany Haddish playing, of course, for the She Ready Foundation. And Matt Walsh, who is playing for Open Books. Matt Walsh of I Don't Know Where.
Matt Walsh is a comedian.
I Don't Know Where Foundation. That sounds insane.
No, he's playing for Open Books.
Let's talk about the third round, which was the prize puzzle. Remember, if you are watching at home, you can win a Disney trip, a Disney cruise to the Bahamas. If you remember, the puzzle girls just want to have fun. And at that round, Joe picked up the $1 million wedge. He wins. With a total of 42,800, Tiffany had 12,002, Walsh had 5,000, and we go to the bonus round where he picked What Are You Doing? It was a 13-letter long word. He picked H, G, B, and I because he is smart. Joe solves brainstorming and adds another 75,000, giving him a total of 117,800.
But that was $1 million because he picked up the $1 million wedge. Uh-huh. And the $1 million spot was single star wedge.
But we're not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the next game, Joe wins again with a total of 56,000. Giving him a total of 173,800. Tiffany gets 30,000 by virtue of her not scoring anything in the second game. And Walsh has 26,550 this game for a total of 31,550. And he picks What Are You Doing? Again. This time he picks the F, the P, the B, and the I, and solves Feeling Faint for another 25,000, giving him a grand total tonight of $198,800. Joe Manganiello is a smart cookie.
Yes. And, yeah.
And easy on the eyes, too.
Yeah, let me go where we're looking for. But we now need to go to the island. Now, Gordon, do you remember the song? You know how Ricky Starks on NXT says the revolution will be televised?
Yes.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Star wants to foment a revolution because the bottom four realize that the top four are not exactly going anywhere anytime soon. That will be Joe, Ava, Kyle, and
Shaheen.
Shaheen, yes. Okay, she's trying to foment the move that if Joe loses immunity, he's going to be gone, right? Okay, smart play. So we go to the reward challenge, and this was, again, another Survivor classic. It's, you know, tie your arms to your side, tie your legs, and slither around the sand, and eventually get a ball off of a buoy onto, you know, and onto the platform, and then untie rings and set up, and the first person to get three rings on the platform wins reward, which is on a Fijian island. They were going to have a chicken and waffles picnic, a bunch of other stuff. So Kyle
sounds
wins.
Good.
Sounds good. So Kyle wins, and of course, what does Jeff say? Pick other people. Picks.
Of course he does.
He picks Eva, Camilla, and Shahid.
Which is yes. And he said, of course I did that on purpose to get the other people pissed off so they can vote off Joe. Okay? So, we get to one of my favorite Survivor tests. Okay? You have to spell immunity by stacking blocks on top of a balance beam. Okay? But the problem is that if you go too fast, or the blocks fall, you have to start from the beginning. And it went back and forth, and back and forth, and up and down, and unfortunately for the people on the bottom, Joe wins immunity again. So, they have to go to a backup plan, and everyone's saying, hey, Star, play your shot in the dark. And she's like, hell no, and she started to become, you know, this rap artist, rapping her, you know, her doom, and unfortunately for Star at Tribal Council, she's now the fourth member of the jury.
That's what I call a falling star.
Yes, he was a very big falling star.
These are the jokes. So.
Yeah, but I have to ask, right call?
Well, given the circumstances, I mean, obviously the target was Joe, but with Joe having immunity, now you have to kind of sort of pick off Joe's circle. So Star being the next one up seems like the play.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, your thoughts?
Not sure if that's the best play. Because, again, you have a majority of four versus a minority of how much?
Four.
So if the majority is four, and the minority is four, that leaves eight. Which means, if you don't think you're making it, if you're in the elite group of four, and you don't think you're making it to the final eight, this is the time you grab somebody from... This is the time that you jump over to the minority and then try to knock somebody out of the majority. So, for certain people, yeah, that's great. For the people that finished in 4th through 5th through 8th, nah, maybe not so much.
Well,
this is when you need to start looking for cracks in the majority alliance.
Well, like I said before, Jay and I were talking in pre-production, and I told him I have a bunch of Venn diagrams about who is up with who alliance-wise. We have alliances, semi-alliances, half-alliances. Bottom line is, everybody is going into business for everybody.
Yeah, but the thing is that right now with the seven, I think we have a legitimate four versus three. And I think they're going to continue to pick them off unless Joe does not win immunity. If Joe does not win immunity, he's gone.
Agreed.
Unless Ava plays one of her two idols on him, which would be stupid. But
no, it would be smart. Because if you play an idol on Joe, and keep in mind, there's not many episodes left to use the idols. If you play one on Joe, that means you can dictate who you can knock out of your majority alliance.
It's true.
I think, yep. Exactly. But you know what? I'm hungry. I'm really hungry. I need pizza. Let's go to Italy.
So in this leg called the Pizza de Resistance, again, these are the jokes, they are flying from Sofia to Naples, Italy, and they're using a mobile app to book their flights, and once there they have to travel by taxi to Stazione di Monte Santo and by funicular to Castel Sant'Elmo, where they have to find...
By the way, and for those who don't know what a funicular is, it is an elevated train that gets you up a mountain.
Yeah, they're big in San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. They have to find Il Capitano with their next clue. Then they have to rub the nose of the Pulcinello statue before receiving their next clue from a Pulcinella.
And the detour was, and Gordon, you'll understand this. It was mozzarella or mandoline. You'll understand.
Yes, mandoline. Right. Inside baseball, gotta love it.
Yes, teams had to assemble a Neapolitan mandoline before receiving their next clue. In mozzarella, teams had to braid 6 pieces of mozzarella into trachea plates with a specific weight before receiving their next clue. Okay. Then they had to travel on foot after the detour to their next clue at Vico to Montesanto. They had to purchase groceries from a list written in Italian and deliver them using a bucket and a rope to a resident on a balcony in exchange for their next clue. Then they had to find a marked car which took them to their next clue at the Ristorante dei Torri, which they had to make a margherita pizza from scratch. By the way, margherita pizza, quite excellent.
Delicious.
It is the simplest of them. It is the simplest of pizzas, which I believe is just dough, sauce, cheese, and a little bit of basil.
Correct.
If my memory serves.
You are correct. Okay.
And then they had to deliver the pizza on foot to Castel Nuovo. Now, here's something interesting. So the winners were Anna and Jonathan, who won a trip to Mexico City. Now, we predicted last week that Han and Holden would not make it. And they landed in 5th. But, Chico, there is a twist.
The good news is, this is a non-elimination leg. And Han and Holden, you're still racing.
Yay.
Didn't think you'd see one of those in a while, did you?
They advertise this season as no non-elimination race. No non-elimination laps, then yes, you definitely did not expect to see it.
And again, I think it's a twist that they forced, really. But we got one episode, and then we got the 2-episode season finale coming in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so
that's going to be a Wednesday and a Thursday show, so be on the lookout for that.
Moving on to more pizza, we go to Canada. And we have another corporate sponsored challenge by Finnish dish detergent. Chefs had to create 30 minutes to create dishes based off of a tough, dirty dish stain, which included tomato sauce, meat sauce, coffee, guacamole, macaroni and cheese, oatmeal, eggs, rice, and lasagna. Winner received 10 grand, who was Henry, whose oatmeal glutinous rice balls with maple butter, toasted oats, and oatmeal broth won the deal.
Guest judge was a very special guest judge, the host of Top Chef Canada, Eden Grinchpan.
Now, go ahead.
I thought this was a neat, fun challenge trying to make stuff off of stains. Sort of reminded me of a crime scene kitchen.
Indeed. I didn't even think about that. Anyway, let's go to the elimination challenge. Did you know that Hawaiian pizza and sushi pizza were both created in Canada?
I knew that Hawaiian pizza. I knew that Hawaiian pizza was Canadian. I did not know that sushi pizza was Canadian. And I don't know if I want to try sushi pizza.
I didn't even know sushi pizza was a thing. Gordon, you like sushi. You like pizza. Did you know sushi pizza was a thing?
I did know sushi pizza was a thing. I know with specific sorts of sushi, it makes absolute sense to do it with sauce. Especially with that. I mean, you look at it this way. Most sushi you enjoy with soy sauce. So why not tomato sauce? Certain things, I mean, you don't think of salmon with cream cheese with sushi, but you got yourself a Philadelphia roll.
No, I was just going to say, it's a Philadelphia roll, but go on.
In a nod to those unconventional pizzas, the chefs have to create unconventional pizza to be tasted at a pizza party at the Ravine Vineyard Estate Winery in Niagara.
In Davids, Ontario.
In Niagara-on-the-Lake in Davids, Ontario. 70 guest diners in attendance, including Eden Grinchpan, Chef John Fater, Top Chef Chicago's Spike Mendelson, and Top Chef Masters Wiley DeFren. Winner gets the last immunity of the season. That winner, with a Lamajun pizza with lamb, anchovy, ranch, and pickled grapes, Tristan. On the other hand, we have a pho rice pizza with pho marinated brisket, herb pesto, and hoisin sriracha aioli.
I have to say that does not sound appetizing to me.
I like hoisin. I like sriracha. Not sure if they go together. But Henry learns the hard way that, no, they don't go together. So he's going to Last Chance Kitchen. Jay, what does he find there?
He finds Katiana. And he and Katiana were given 30 minutes to make dishes using freshly made dough. And Henry loses again. His pan-seared wonton with pork, soy scallion, and soy sour broth and garlic scallion emulsion loses to Katiana's pot pie seafood chowder with scallops, mushrooms, vadovan crust, and crumbled dough. So Henry went from Top Chef Kitchen to totally and positively out. But Chico and Gordon, next week, Restaurant Wars.
Yeah. And this should be fun. The quality of food this season coming from the chefs and the creativity has been really good, especially on the you can tell for the pizza and for the sauce. So I'm really looking forward to this. This could be a really good episode.
It could be a really good episode.
But we have a couple of, speaking of chefs, we have a chef show to review as part of our little honest reviews. It's called Yes Chef. Debuted this past Monday on NBC, and here's how it goes. Martha Stewart and Jose Andres are hosting, and you have 12 chefs competing against themselves, competing for $250,000. But here's the deal. They're well-established chefs with hot tempers and inflated egos. Okay? Okay, Gordon. Here's the thing I don't like about this show.
Well, let's talk about the good, because there is some good here.
Okay.
Notice I said some.
Production
values are absolutely amazing.
Of course, it's Martha Stewart and Jose Andres. Duh.
Well, the production values are amazing. The hosting, not terrible. Martha Stewart does have experience hosting in reality shows, and it shows here.
Yep. I agree.
So, Jose Andres, not so much.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree on that. And also, it's one of those things where the show format is just written already. You just have to follow it. We've got three teams of chefs. One team gets immunity and gets to challenge a chef to a cook-off. Well, the captain gets to challenge a chef to a cook-off. And the loser hits the bricks.
It sort of reminds me a little bit of a cooking version of Too Hot to Handle. Not from a lust standpoint, but from a trying not to deal with a deadly sin standpoint. In Too Hot to Handle, it is lust. And in this show, it is wrath. or anger, or however you want to have that terminology. How well can you hold your cool? Though I've seen it done better on a show called Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, and another thing is...
And now... Chico, yours.
Yeah, we've seen it done better. And another thing is, when you build a show around a conceit, that conceit tends to get old. And what are you left with afterwards? You are left with just another cooking competition.
It feels not just another cooking competition, but another cooking competition where the attitude and that just doesn't come off as sincere. It comes off as, I'm supposed to be angry now. Let's be angry.
Here's the problem. If every chef is going to be a psychological a-hole and may not be a truly, like, it's a put-on-for-television a-hole, what are you going to root for? Who do you care about? You know what I'm saying?
Jason, get out of my head. You're absolutely right on this.
Bingo.
This is what separates a Top Chef, where you have a lot of likable contestants and you have people to root for, versus this, where you're sort of rooting for redemption, you're rooting for a comeuppance, so it's not completely there, but it's going to take you a while to fall in love or even like with some of these contestants. And by that time, you may be too late. Yeah. I will say, C4, they tried. It's not the worst thing in the world. From a competition standpoint, it's a decent show, but the hook here just does not work for me. C.
That's absolutely correct. It's got very good pedigree, but horrible execution. And especially in the world we live in now, we do not want to see more a-holes. We want to see kindness. So, C for me.
I want to see people that are worth rooting for. I don't see any yet. I see a good show with a good premise, but nobody to root for. And again, that conceit is going to wear fast. And you are left with just another cooking competition afterwards. So yeah, C is the grade here.
You know, and I hate to say it this way, if they actually combine this show with a little Taskmaster, that would be fun. And don't take this too seriously and have the a-hole chefs get their comeuppance that way. That could be fun. This
I understand
isn't fun.
Yep, I agree.
Yes.
I agree with you 100%. I did not see this one, but you two did. What is Battle Camp on Netflix?
Hey, have you seen the challenge?
Yes.
It's basically that, but with Gordon.
No, I was teasing.
Okay. It's basically that, but with Netflix stars instead of Paramount Global stars.
As a camp.
And it's like they're in three teams instead of two. And one team is going to get immunity, and another team is going to be put on a wheel. And through a series of decisions made and votes taken, members of other teams are put on the wheel, and then they spin the wheel, and whoever the wheel lands on gets eliminated.
That sounds about right. The good news is, if you like the challenge, if you like those sort of shows, and more importantly, your mileage may vary on if you like the Netflix stars, you'll be okay with this. This is not the worst thing in the world. The production values are not as good as some of the other shows, but that doesn't make it a bad show. So that's the good news. The bad news is, if you don't like the Netflix stars, there's not a lot to see unless you want to see them eliminated and knocking themselves off, in which case, yeah, you got some stuff to see.
Yeah, I mean, this show does not provide any background for anybody who was on the shows that they came from. And if you're just coming into the Netflix reality universe cold, I can understand where that could be annoying after a while.
Yeah, you know, there are certain shows that provide too much inside baseball. This show does not provide enough inside baseball. in terms of, again, rootability, why you should like these people, what did they do on other shows, what is their relationship with them and other people on the shows. You know, usually there's too much. This time around, not enough. Or maybe we'll eventually get there if it becomes a play, but again, we don't judge on potential, we judge on what we have. So, for me, we continue with the C's. It's there, it exists, it's okay, it's not terrible, but again, your mileage is going to vary depending on how much you want to see these stars from Netflix in yet another challenge-style show. C, please.
Yeah, but keep your eye on Taylor Lewan, former Tennessee Titan, current podcaster, host of this show. He's got a future in this business if he wants to keep
at it. Well, he's not like it stops. I agree with you there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. That's cool.
So it's a C-plus from me. Taylor Lewan bumps it up to a C-plus.
I'll give you that.
Oh, and by the way, we're going to code for something in the next story. I actually have a double hater. I have a bonus hater aid to the one that we talked about earlier regarding this. Of course, we need to talk about the death of RuPaul's Drag Race star, Jiggly Caliente. Okay, who passed away? Her name was Bianca Castro. Passed away at 44 following complications from a serious infection that led to a leg amputation. Unfortunately, she died in the hospital.
Yeah, this is just that all over the place on this.
Yeah, she was definitely gone too soon here. Not just an alumni of RuPaul's Drag Race, also one of the judges on Drag Race Philippines in 2022.
Correct. I'm not going to even just say this, but Tyra Sanchez, you need to go in room 101. Remember the nasty comments she made about the Vivienne?
Mm-hmm.
She made comments about Tyra, too.
She made comments about Jiggly Caliente, you mean?
Yes, and yeah, she posted a meme on social media showing themselves leaning against the tombstone marked with Jiggly's birth and death dates, along with the mocking caption, "Here lies she who came for me," and adding, "Moi, no leg," unquote. Serious troll bull.
Stuff. Bull bleep.
Yeah, bull bleep. Okay? But Jiggly Caliente, I think she made a name for herself. Not just being a judge, she was really into the community for a long time.
Well, she was not only in the community, she was one of the people that really focused on trans rights. She herself was trans. In terms of that, she also does have an extended TV background in terms of credits on shows that she was on. And again, not one of those... not one of the people that you would find in the forefront. I mean, she was serious in terms of her trade.
She was on
a massive gay show called Pose, which yes. Got a number of awards, and she was on as Veronica Ferocity.
Yes. Yep.
So yeah,
and yeah, that was her biggest role, and yeah, that's pretty cool because my sister loved Poe. Yeah, she was a judge on 30 episodes of Drag Race Philippines. So yeah. Unfortunately, this was way too soon, and we need to have a moment of silence, please.
Thank you.
In Act 3, the toilet comes back because we need to start our summer version of Push or Flush. Chico, take us to the news.
But all the news you didn't even know you needed to know is coming on the other side of the break, including more plans on the summer and an icon approaches an icon. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6 days with 5 and 1. You're home but we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 things you could put on a pizza that sounds weird, but it's probably really cool.
Buffalo chicken.
Bratwurst.
Meat. Tofu.
Okay.
Okay, you know what?
If you put white cheese on it, white sauce, tofu, that sounds yummy. Yeah. Throw some peanut sauce on there, too, even though I know Jay can't have it with peanut sauce, but...
Ooh, that is bad.
We can tie.
Yeah, I got it. How about some sriracha and some lemongrass and some chicken chunks?
We'll think about it, but let's go to break. We'll be right after this.
This is Wayne Brady. Talking to someone about how you feel may be the most difficult thing in the world. People go through this, and you're not alone in the fight. Help starts with a conversation.
Brain Vision News is sponsored by Reality Pizza. Yes, we've had Pizza on the Amazing Race and Pizza on Top Chef. How about your very own pizza from Hell's Kitchen made of what appears to be undercooked scallops and a pesto sauce? Survivor, which appears to be a rat pizza in origin. And everybody's favorite, American Idol, which is just a lot of ham. Because everybody loves to ham it up. That is Reality Pizza, now taking orders near you!
Yay!
Sponsored by Grizzlebees.
You wish you had.
Yeah, exactly. Not a lot of time, a lot of news to go through. Gordon, if you would.
We're all that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and Attracts Productions, and you can listen to Doug Morris as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris every Sunday afternoon on Rock 104. That's Rock 104 WXRR. 104.5 on the FM dial and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com. That is in Hattiesburg and surrounding areas. And, of course, the Rock 104 and Odyssey apps.
Oh, I see one with the I see two bats with two corporate logos. Let's do it.
All right, so we are talking about the summertime, obviously. Fox was first out the gate with its summer plans, including season 5 of Lego Masters premiering May 19th. And then in May 21st, we have Gordon Ramsay's Secret Service, which is more of a documentary-type series. And after that is Jeff Jefferies, hosting Jim Jefferies, sorry, hosting The Snake on June 10th. And MasterChef returns for its 15th season on May 21st. And also on June 10th is season 2 of The 1% Club. And on June 2nd, we have season 2 of The Quiz with Balls.
Now, The Snake, just for those who knows, from the press release, actually, they assemble 15 masters of manipulation from various persuasive professions. Wow. With unique skill sets to compete in an outrageous array of challenge and twists, all of which help contestants slither toward becoming that weak snake, the most powerful position in the game and ultimate decider of who stays and who goes. The snake is the social survival of the fittest, where each contestant must leverage their unique skills, training, and powers of persuasion as they face a multitude of challenges to decide to showcase the traits needed to be successful in the game. The winner of each challenge becomes the snake, earning control of the saving ceremony and explosive chain reaction elimination, where it's not about who wants you gone, but who's willing to save you. It doesn't hinge on winning challenges, it's about winning people over. One contestant will get $100,000. Sally Ann Salzano, who did Jersey Shore, Joe Millionaire for Richard Porter, and is executive producer and showrunner as well.
All right.
So,
this is where the execution and the social play is really going to determine whether or not this is a good show or not a good show. It looks decent on paper, but then again, so did Million Dollar Secret.
True.
Which then, when they actually did it, made absolutely no sense whatsoever in terms of gameplay. So we'll see how they handle it here.
Yep. Meanwhile, over on ABC, their summer will kick off July 7th with the season premiere of Bachelor in Paradise with Jesse Palmer and Hannah Brown joining the show as Paradise Relations, whatever that is. Then on July 10th, we have the season premiere of Celebrity Family Feud with Steve Harvey. Always a good time there. Followed by the summer premiere of Press Your Luck. Always a good time there. And then on July 23rd, we have the return of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Jimmy Kimmel and his celebrity buddies playing for $1 million for charity, and followed by the reboot of Match Game. We'll come back to that. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
Oh, yes, we will, because I think this is a genius choice. Genius choice.
I also agree with that. But that's,
so anything else on ABC?
No, that's in the future. That's in the future. You know, his claim to fame is not on the schedule, but that doesn't mean it won't appear later on down the road. I mean, look at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Right, first time in 4 years, exactly. And believe me, we're not the only ones who are upset that there are celebrities. Trust me, I've been reading.
But that is later on down the line. Let's talk about what's happening in the next week, Jay.
I will. Gordon sent me the date book, and on Friday is the spring premiere of Hollywood Squares. I believe those are still season one episodes that have not been shown yet.
Correct.
And the season premiere of Tackmaster on YouTube Saturday is a preview of a show called Destination X. Tuesday is The Devil's Plan Death Room season premiere Netflix. Is that like an escape room thingy?
No, it's basically a bunch of Korean comedians and one guy from the Umbrella Academy acting in a sort of a play acting competition.
Okay. And then of course the season finale of House of Knives. Wednesday is the season finale of Masked Singer, and next week on with Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, Wendy McClellan Covey, Ben Schwartz, and Adam Pally. We don't know the second game. We don't know the matchups for Jeopardy Masters yet, so we can't put them on there.
Right.
But, Let's talk about that app, though, and Gordon, this one's for you. Now, Gordon, a week from today, if you have the Hard Rock Bet app, which I don't know if you have any gambling apps on your phone. I have to ask.
I absolutely don't, but I could.
I'm surprised.
Okay. According to Hard Rock Bet, they are teaming with Playtech Live to launch an online trivia game show on May 7th, and it's going to go through June. And a live host streamed on the offer scheduled promotions and prizes for those who participate. Playtech is the company that provides the tech background for like slots, card games, table games, etc. And they're adding the trivia game to the platform. Gordon, you may have to test this out for us.
That'd be fun. I can try it.
Okay. I mean, I would
that
love
sounds,
to
that
see
that. Sounds zany. If other people want to do this, where do they go?
You would go to either your Apple app. I mean, Google Play or the Android App Store to get Hard Rock. And the only problem is that you have to be located in New Jersey proper. Okay.
So that means
You have to do it. Correct. I cannot, and Chico cannot.
We are not in New Jersey.
So, yes, you may have to do the sacrifice for us.
Okay.
If you would, that would be helpful. That's actually kind of smart if you live in New Jersey. This one, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You're really dumb, for real.
And this one counts because he was on Jeopardy, among other things. Are you smarter than just... I can't say it with a straight face. Are you smarter?
Are you smarter than Shannon Sharp? Shannon Sharp, who has been accused of doing something we can't discuss on here, and also accused of potentially paying off someone, you know, right?
Right. Suffice it to say, there's a lawsuit, and it's going to get ugly, and it's gotten to the point where Shannon Sharp does not want to see the tape. So the tape will remain private.
Exactly. So, I've got some hater. It's icky. Let me wash it down with some Haterade, please.
Haterade.
Okay. So we talked about how the Mr. Beast experience at the Resorts World Hotel did not exactly live up to its billing, okay? Basically, it was Fyre Festival 3.0, okay? He said the event, quote, definitely isn't the experience we'd hope they deliver, and promised to make it up by inviting everyone affected to his studio. It was advertised as an immersive and unforgettable experience that included exclusive games, Mr. Beast themed menu, and mystery bags thought to contain a limited edition merchandise, including one with a $10,000 gift card. Okay. And
well,
Yeah, a crowd of frustrated fans, according to the BBC, confronted the resort CEO on Tuesday, asking him to refund the $1,000 they spent on the 3-day event. Okay. And one of the people said, it should have been like mini games, meet and greets, photo ops, special drinks and things. Unfortunately, we didn't get any of that. Not exactly the best thing you do. If you're going to run stuff like this, you'd better have your crossed and I's dotted, really. Just bad.
Yeah.
So, So where are we sending Shannon Sharp and Mr. Beast?
We're going to send them to watch two canceled TV shows in England.
Yes.
First canceled show is a show that's being canceled after a single season, and that is Mel Gidroyk's hosted version of Pictionary, which plays almost exactly like our own, but did not get the ratings that our first season got.
Mm-hmm.
A source told the Sun newspaper, "So many quiz shows have been inspired by beloved board games, and the assumption was Pictionary would become an instant hit. Sadly, the ratings were poor, and celebrity-led panels require a budget, which in this case wasn't deemed worth expanding." So that is going away. Also going away is A League of Their Own, but this is going away after 20 seasons. Production for the 20th and final season is going to begin this or later this year, with host Ramesh Ranganathan, team captains Jamie Redknapp and Jill Scott, and series regular Micah Richards returning to film in front of its largest live audiences to date. So League of Their Own, they're ready to go out with a bang, basically.
And also, in the global, the Jeopardy season 2 in the UK ended with a 10-game champion.
Ben Jones?
Crazy. Ben Jones.
He's going to be back for season 3, you think?
I hope so. Would be nice.
Would indeed be nice.
Would be.
I want to say viewer figures have gone up because of the Super Champ.
I hope that's usually what happens. Okay.
Yep. So a little bit of a.
So then we're going to get some worldwide media pros.
I got pros in different area codes.
Area codes.
Pros in different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Liza Koshy sides with anonymous content. Michael Dietz, having juggled 23 years of acting and married Bliss, has parlayed his tele hosting into becoming the best reality producer you've never heard of. Alex Horn still gets excited over Taskmaster. Can't seem to blame him. Anne Hegarty has named her best chaser in the world. Give you a hint, it's somebody we know and love.
Okay.
Victoria Gross.
Okay. Of course.
Celebrities are sliding into Alan Cumming's DMs trying to get all the traitors. Dwayne Johnson is unrecognizable in his trailer for The Smashing Machine, which I believe is a UFL.
Exactly. The makeup is insane.
Val Schmurkowski passes a kidney stone. Why he felt like we needed to know that, I still don't know. Ken Jennings reveals he's been kicked out of Jeopardy family group chat. I have an idea as to why that happened. Fantasia returns to American Idol. Vanna White has dinner with Pat Sajak. Susan Knowles finds love. And let's go over, because the season finale of The Masked Singer is this coming Wednesday. Honey Pot was Cedric the Entertainer. Fuzzy Peas was Oscar De La Hoya, legitimate good singer. Ant is Aubrey O'Day. Bat was Shiana Shea. Space Ranger was Flava Flav. Griffin was James Vanderbeek. Cherry Blossom was Candace Cameron Bure. Stud Muffin was Method Man. Yorkie was Erica Jane. Paparazzo was Matthew Lawrence. And Nessie was Edwin McCain.
Yes, and we had a special reveal tonight. The Lucky Duck, who was not in the competition. And guess who it was?
Nick Cannon.
Peter Orr's husband, Taika Waititi.
Ha ha! Love it!
Yes.
So,
but the finale is this next week, as we talked about.
Yes, it is. It'll be the finale.
We have a double set of... Go ahead.
Finale will be Boogie Woogie, Coral, Mad Scientist Monster, and Pearl.
Okay.
So we are going to see who all of them are next week. But they are not your pro of the week. And this pro is really, really blank.
Canadian.
Yep. It only makes sense because Match Game is taping its reboot in Montreal. So not only a great host, a great comedian, a great actor, but also does not run afoul of CanCon rules. Yes. Your pro of the week this week is the new host of Match Game, Martin Short.
What are your thoughts on this? I like this choice.
I don't know if I like this choice or not. I think potentially it could be fun, but I don't see the same lecherousness in him as I see in Gene Rayburn and, of course, in Alec Baldwin. I think if he plays it too straight, it's a mistake. I think he's got to be in on the joke. I would not have minded seeing, and this may surprise you a little bit, and again, it would be within synergy, Tommy Maitland, I think, would have been the better play here.
I think he's too busy playing Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, right now, with all Martin Short, is the safest choice you can get. Ike Myers is too political, and Alec Baldwin you can't touch.
And if you, okay.
Well, you can't touch Alec Baldwin, but if Myers plays Tommy Maitland, I think that could be fun. I agree that Martin Short is the safest one out there, but I'm not sure you want safe.
I don't know. I think Martin Short has the capacity to blend into the crazy. Because Match Game is all about crazy.
And have you watched Martin Short's work? He can be nutty.
He totally can be. Inner Space. You remember him in Inner Space, right, Jay?
SCTV for the win, thank you very much. That's old school. I'm looking forward to this. We'll see how the execution goes, though.
And again, it's all about getting the right blend of panelists. It's why Hollywood Squares works in 2025, because they were getting the right blend of panelists. If you can replicate that on Match Game, you're going to have another winner.
Okay, hold on. Who said that? Okay, you may say Hollywood Squares works. Hollywood Squares does not work for me. I've told you
this. Well, it never did work for you. You told me that.
Right. So I'm just saying, the reason why it works for you is because you think they have the right form of celebrity. I don't think they do. And the thing is that Match Game in the 2016 version and this one now, they have found the right celebrities. So we'll see.
I just want them to get down and dirty.
No, I want them to play the right game.
I want them to play the game while they're being down and dirty. You know, maybe Martin Short will work because maybe it peels off a little bit of the dirty. Maybe? We'll see. And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would please.
Button right here.
Okay,
And I've got to bring in the toilet.
Okay, you're going to bring in the toilet. I'm going to bring in this break, and we're going to do stuff with the toilet right after this. This is We Love to Interrupt on 5 and 1. Stick and stay. We'll be right back.
Brain Vision has been brought to you by America's Next Top Vampire. That's right. Everybody is currently in a juke in, shall we say, Midwest America. Who can be turned last? Who can be turned the best? Who's got the best juke moves? That is America's Next Top Vampire. Don't be a sinner. Be a winner.
I'm assuming the movie's good.
Movie is fantastic. Go see it.
Okay.
Awesome.
It gets a massive, massive push.
Okay.
All right. I guess that's the signal for the background music, because, hey, guess what time it is, folks?
It is toilet time. And it's one of our favorite segments of the year. It is push or flush. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to talk about 9 different shows, and we have 5 different ways to rate them. If we really, really like it, we push it. 3 pushes is fanfare, like this, just for an example. Play the fanfare. Right, okay. If we kind of like it, it's a pastry. If we're in the middle, we're piggling it, just between pastry and jiggle. We kind of don't like it, it's a jiggle. And 3, and then if we hate it, we flush. 3 flushes is a clog, and it goes something like this. With some more sound. Right, and we're going to start off with something kind of, I think we may get a fanfare out of this. It debuted last week on Roku. Bell, please. Moromosho Sushi Master Season 2. This was one of the better shows and actually deconstructed the making of sushi better than everyone else. Push for me.
Yes, it was different when it came out the gate, and they expanded and elevated in Season 2. Big push for me.
I absolutely love Season 1. Season 2 is absolutely better. I agree with everybody. Push for me, too.
And we get this. Okay. Debuted on April 27th. Bell, please. 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing Season 2.
This is another one of those shows that was different when it came out, and it turned out to be a positive difference. When it comes out in Season 2, they're building upon what worked in Season 1, and that gives it a push for me.
I didn't love it. I liked it, Season 1. Same vibes here. They did improve it. Not enough for me to get to love it, but I'll watch it. You know, it's a pastry. Not a bad show.
Yeah, same thing. Pastry. It's good. It ain't great.
Right. Speaking of, on April 28th. Yes, Chef. We did the review. We thought it was Eye Dog.
Well, I gave it a C, so that is translates into a pickle.
That is also a
pickle.
Yeah,
it's a pickle for me. Next one. Debuted tonight as we record this. Celebrity Wheel of Fortune Season 5. You push this for many reasons, especially since it's Pat Sajak's retirement tour. Push it.
Same here. It's a victory tour. It's a retirement tour. It's the farewell tour. It's Pat Sajak at his Pat Sajakiest. It's a push.
I'm not convinced this is Pat Sajak's retirement tour. I mean, it is until it isn't. See Monty Hall. But you absolutely push this.
And right after okay. that...
Yeah, keep the fanfare going. Jeopardy Master Season 3, we don't need to... We just need the
yeah,
fanfare.
Yeah, okay. yeah,
yeah,
play
blah,
it.
Blah, 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 words, words,
blah,
words.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, the Master's Questions writers hurt my brain. Yes, okay,
oh
next one.
Oh, my God.
May 2nd is the Taskmaster Season 19 on YouTube. Not a show for me. I'm sorry, jiggle.
Well, it is a show for me, and again, it's one of those shows where it depends on who you end up getting and how they play off of each other, and... It got to season 19 for a reason, and they don't slouch, so yeah, it's a push for me.
I'm not a fan of Schadenfreude game shows at all. Flush.
Oh, wow, okay.
Okay. Taskmaster, we've established, is an acquired taste. I just happen to have acquired it. Anyway.
You're the only one.
Yes, you are the only one.
Well, if you don't like Taskmaster, you're really not going to like what's coming up next. It is The Devil's Plan Death Room. It's basically the Korean version of Taskmaster, kind of, sort of.
No, it's not really. It's definitely different. But you're right, I don't like this either. Flush.
Pushing it too.
I'm going to give it... it's a second season, so I can't flush it. I'm going to give it a jiggle.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, you're... Yay, okay. Next one. And this one's going to be interesting. This is May 9th, which is a week from Friday. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 10. This is the format with a turn. It's a tournament style... this time, and they go all... I'm interested to see what here is that All-Stars are usually hit or miss, so I'm going to pastry this, not push.
I could not push this hard enough. It's great for a multitude of reasons. It gives you 18 different people. The cast selection on this looks amazing, and if you don't like cast tournament number one, there's always cast tournament number two. If you don't like that, you can like cast tournament number three, and if you don't like any of that, you'll still be engrossed in it for the playoffs final. If this is as successful as I really hope it's going to be, this should be the new format of All Stars. I could not push this harder. Push.
I am going to push this for all the reasons Gordon stated. Big cast, bigger challenges, bigger game, and the new format, which speaks to all three of those, so it's a push for me.
You know what? I need to hear a fanfare. I'll change my vote. Make it a push.
Yeah! Good job, Ted.
One of us! One of us! One of us!
No, it's just they usually do it right, and they rarely get it wrong, but All Stars has been hit or miss for me. So... the final one.
All Stars has been hit or miss because of the casting, but you can't really argue this one.
You really can't.
No, you can't.
And finally, Greg Gutfield's What Did I Miss on Fox Nation.
Now,
all right, explain the format on this one.
It's basically this is the reported format. Contestants have been isolated from the first 100 days of President Trump's second term, and they are quizzed on what they believe may or may not have happened.
Now, this has been taken off of, if you want something that's the closest to this, this has been taken off of Big Brother in terms of challenges where if you're in the house, you don't know exactly what the current events are and what's going on. I love this when they play it on Big Brother. I think it is a fascinating look and read. And if you look for the past 100 days on how crazy it's been since then and everything going on. If the execution is correct on this, this could be amazing must-watch TV. I will push this.
I'm going to push this too, because Gutfeld is one of the few Fox people I actually like. He is legitimately funny. Okay. And his show Gutfeld is what it is. How can I put this? He skewers the left, but in a way that's really funny. Okay. It's not, you know, just ha ha, we're right, they're wrong. It's the execution of how. I'm pushing this. And that's crazy. If you pushed it, that's cool. Okay. Are you going to make it a three? I don't think you are, though.
I can't in good
conscience. Are you cheating?
I cannot in good conscience make it a threesome.
Oh, you stink.
Yeah, I've heard worse from better people, thank you very much. Anyway.
Oh, you've definitely heard worse from me.
But, yeah, it's like, I can't in good conscience, because, really? You're making a game out of this?
It's been done before on Big Brother.
It's been done on Big Brother, but again, consider the source, consider the audience, and consider the intent.
I want to ask you a legitimate question.
Yes.
Okay. If this format was done the exact same way, but was done by, say, CNN or MSNBC, would you like it?
I would feel the exact same way, because...
No.
Yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Yeah, because here's the thing. What has the Fox News cabal made their money on?
Well, first of all,
weaponized
this is not the
rage.
Fox. Okay, but hold on a second, okay? All right? This is not Fox News. This is Fox Nation, a legitimate streaming channel, which they have. Okay? It's different. It is not produced by the news division of Fox. Remember I told you about how have I got news for you? I've listened to a couple of episodes. They're not unbiased, you see. You cannot, in this day and age, you cannot produce a politically based game show without bias. And what you're showing me is that you cannot... I asked if you would, the exact same format was done on a different channel, you wouldn't like it. And you said, no, I don't believe you. I know your political bent, and I respect your political bent. I'm saying to you that Gordon explained that there was a legit format done on a different show, like Big Brother. So I'm asking you again, why don't you like this?
Why don't I like
this? If you're just going to say it's Fox... Then, you know, I have...
Jay? I haven't even given my grade yet.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm giving it a piggle. Well, actually, no, ooh. I'm giving it a pastry. Because I think the game actually works.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're gonna put me on blast, then put me on blast for a reason. But I think that the game is going to work. Am I part of the audience that they're going for? Hell no.
Nope.
Am I part of the people who are putting this thing together? Hell no. Do I think that this is ripe for parody or gamification? Hell no! But then again, I'm not the target audience.
Exactly. And that's the point. And that's what we're going to do. So, I'm going to clean the toilet for next week. Do we have the shows for next week?
Here's the thing. The list is the list is a dynamic thing. It's like one person will release their summer plans. Next thing you know, everybody is releasing their summer plans. So this is
right. The upfronts are in about a week or two, right?
Indeed, they are. This is a the list is a living, breathing animal, and we cannot stop it. We can only hope to contain it. That's why we love it so much. You know what I mean?
I do. I do indeed. But one thing I also love is a speed round, and we will get right back to that and end this monstrosity right after this. This is 5-1, and we love to interrupt.
I am insulted you call this a monstrosity. This is a cacophony, damn it.
There you go.
I smell shenanigans and tomfoolery from everybody involved in this production.
Yes, we indeed.
The
got it.
Oh, this one's mine with a bullet. WLTI has been brought to you by With Prejudice. We're just going to take the unbiasedness and throw it out the window. We're going to see what happens after 100 days, which are personal, violent, political thoughts on everything. If one side doesn't like a piece of it, it's automatically all bad because we lost our sense of rationalization. That is With Prejudice. Chico Alexander host.
Oh, could you imagine a show like that? Good. Oh, no. I know what that is. That's World Star Hip Hop.
Oh, God.
Correct with Bill Maher.
I'm just going to say. I'm just going to say the Galveston port. As everybody's debarking the Carnival Jubilee.
And
leave it at that.
Yeah, I should. You saw that, right? What the hell, dude? You're a carnival crew.
Okay, so it's like between that and Katy Perry and Gayle King going into space for a photo op for Jeff Bezos, I think the world has just lost its damn mind.
While the boat is going right into Scylla and Charybdis, let's have a speed round now. Survivor, is anybody going to wake up into the majority alliance? Answer, probably no. Who's next?
If Joe wins immunity, then Mary's gone. If Joe doesn't win immunity, Joe's gone.
No, he's not. I will predict this. I will predict it right now. If Joe is not winning, Eva's going to play it for him to make it survive a week. Oh. I think there's going to be chaos with that.
I
think the chaos is one episode away, though I will agree with you. If he doesn't win immunity, this is exactly when you play the numbers, because now you have the numbers to play. If you wait one more week, you will not have the numbers. So this could be the week of chaos if Eva is smart. Will she be? We'll find out.
Amazing Race. Will Holden's and Han survive into the final four? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Nope.
Top Chef, who does not survive Restaurant Wars?
Well,
you've got a really good cast here. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't either. I mean, Tristan is in the driver's seat with 3 wins right here. But right now, I think, while Henry's out, look out for Shuai, Paul, and Paula. They have 2 lows, and Paula was low with Cesar this week. So we've got a few episodes left. Be careful.
Yeah, but this is Restaurant Wars is one of those episodes where if you are the captain and you lose, the captain goes down with the ship. And if Tristan decides this is where he wants to play captain, this could be a problem for him. Jeopardy. Are we looking at the same champion next week, or are we looking at Wheel of Contestants?
I think we're looking at Wheel
of Contestants. I think we may have a Wheel of Contestants right now. But, okay, Jeopardy Masters. We know that Roger and Yogesh are in the driver's seat after week one. Who will be after week two?
It all depends on the matchup, but do not sleep on Adriana Harmeyer as she goes into her opening match. But, oh, God, I'm really pulling for some people, but at the same time, the proof is in the pudding there. And Yogesh Yogesh is pretty much killing the competition. He came on a mission.
Yes, he came on a mission. Sometimes
the winner is the person that gets hot at the right time. One of the, shall we say, quirks of nine-person tournament Jeopardy Tournament of Champions is that you don't need to be hot now. You need to be hot at the end. I'm still going to say advantage Victoria Gross.
I agree. You know, look, it's put it, put, but it's going to be fun to watch.
It always is.
And what is this? A 6-week tournament, right? I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, six-week tournament, nine people. That is exciting. Any mail?
It is very exciting.
No mail, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI at GameshowNewsNet.com. Or you can follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2. And you're at GSNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5N1Net. That's the number 5ANDONENET, where we talk about everything going on network wide. For example, we did the live cast of the draft. Cam Ward went number one. He is, and a whole lot of exciting things happened. The top 32.
Shedeur Sanders went in the fifth round, and deservedly so, if you ask me. He's mid, absolute mid. He ain't that in a bag of chips. Just saying, he ain't prime time, if you know what I mean.
Indeed. Well, we talked about that. What's going on the NAWC, Jay?
On the NAWC, we are heading to Backlash in a week from Saturday, believe it or not. WrestleMania is over. Backlash is done. Cena is going to face Randy Orton. And Liv Morgan's going to be off TV a little bit because she scored a major movie role, and you might know this director, okay? You ever heard of Takeshi Mike?
I do. I have heard of Takeshi Miike.
She's in a new role in a show called Bad Lieutenant Tokyo.
There's actually going to be a movie with Shun Oguri and Lily James, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Yes. Yes, exactly. And she is playing the politician's daughter, and she's going to be in Japan for a few weeks. So, yeah, that's a very, very, very big deal. And we'll also talk about the Road to Double or Nothing at AEW. TNA and NXT are cooking really well. So yeah, NAWC's been doing pretty good. I mean, wrestling has been very well. And of course, Gunther's taking some time off. Cody Rhodes is taking some time off. We'll see where that goes. Gordon, what's been happening in the UBA, if you can hear us?
Well, the UBA just made a deal with Cabela Marketing and Import. So we are doing the first global bowling card game. It's going to be out there. It's going to be attached to a game port. It's going to be fun. If you want to buy a pack, it's only $50. Go to ubahedera.com. Meanwhile, in UBA land, we're getting down to the wire. It's now May. We have officially 2 months left on the regular season.
Oh, my God.
So, good stuff.
That is right. It is May. Holy cow. Unbelievable. Chico, it was a thing.
Oh, we just kicked off Pilot Month with a pilot about a director of a game show who moves to San Antonio from New York and has to appease to a puppet. And the Puppet's Master. It is on the site right now. And it was a thing on TV.com. It is also our Hall of Fame class, which includes a non-human, a former James Bond, and someone who wants to know what was in that Danish. If you know, you know. It's a fun time. They're both online right now, so give them a listen, why don't you?
Yeah, so what's happening next week as we go into May sweeps?
Next week, we crown a winner on The Masked Singer. We go for more Wheel, more Jeopardy, more Survivor, more Top Chef, and we count down to Drag Race All-Stars 10. Can you believe it's 10 seasons of Drag Race All-Stars? Awesome stuff. And as we also continue our countdown to our 500th episodes, and plus more happy toilet time. All that is coming up next week. We'd love for you to join us then. Until then, my friends, for Gordon Pepper and Jason Block and everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Can I
interrupt this program.